This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Gentlemen, welcome to America's Auto Enthusiast Program. This is Auto World. And now, here's your host, Bob Long.
I want to thank you very much for joining me here for another hour of Auto World. In this hour of the program, we're going to be talking about Preston Tucker and telling you all about a wonderful new book. The name of the book is called Preston Tucker and His Battle to Build the Car of Tomorrow. It's published by Chicago Review Press, and the author of that book will be joining us here momentarily. Jay Leno actually did the foreword on the book, which is mighty cool, to say the least. Telephone-wise, you can get a hold of us at the usual number. It's 855-660-4261, 855-660-4261. We have a leftover trivia question from a previous hour of the broadcast, and we'll keep it out there right now, and it's about seatbelts. We all take seatbelts for granted, but who was the first car manufacturer to make seatbelts optional or standard equipment long before the government officially put it into federal law that vehicles had to have one type of seatbelt, and eventually that was changed to a different type of seatbelt? Telephone number is 855-660-4261. Again, Bob at BobLongRadio.com, Bob at AutoWorldRadio.com. Coming up a little later on in the hour, Don Jones, CEO of the OldCarGuys.com, will be telling us about his recent travels. He's been all over the place, and he's been finding some really rare stuff. But right now, let's go to the Motor City of Detroit, Michigan, and welcome Steve Leto, who is the author of this beautiful book that I have right here in my humble office studio. It's called Preston Tucker and His Battle to Build the Car of Tomorrow. Steve, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Hey, very well. It's good to be here.
Well, let's begin by talking a little bit about yourself. Are you a lifelong car enthusiast? What were some of the reasons why you decided to write this book about Preston Tucker?
Well, I've always loved cars. When I was in high school, I had a 1969 Dodge Charger, which was at the time 10 years old, and I spent many wasted evenings driving back and forth up and down Woodward Avenue, which was expensive for a kid because my car only got about 10 miles to gallon the way I drove it. And then later on, I became an attorney, and I specialized in lemon law, which is defective automobiles. So I get to talk about cars all day long in my law practice. And then I started writing books, and I wrote a book about the Chrysler turbine car project. I was always fascinated by the turbine cars that Chrysler built. And that's actually how I met Jay Leno. And then a very good friend of mine suggested I should do some research on Preston Tucker, and I just assumed there'd been a book about him because there was that movie starring Jeff Bridges by Francis Ford Coppola, and I just assumed that, well, there has to be a book, there's been a movie. And he said, no, there's been a movie, but no book. So, you know, there had been books written about him by people who knew him very, very well, but they were kind of slanted, and it had been quite a while. So I decided to dive into it, do the research, and write a book.
Excellent, and an extremely well-done book, and as I said to you off-air, you know, this will be your first visit with us, but I'm sure we'll have an additional follow-up visit and really dive deep into the story, because it is quite a story. We got to kind of take people back in time to the post-World War II era, so the country is just coming out of defeating the Nazis in Germany and defeating Japan and the whole huge World War II. The automotive manufacturing had ceased, and all of the manufacturing plants had been turned over in this country to building stuff for the war. And Preston wanted to build this Tucker, the 48 Tucker, as the car of tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about what the country was like at that moment and a little bit about Preston's mood and Preston's overall goal for his car.
Well, yeah, in 1942, the government just mandated that all the car companies stop building cars and start building, you know, war material. So there was a car shortage by 1945, and Americans were clamoring for just cars. And the car companies were basically planning on just breaking out the dies from 1942 and just, you know, warming over some old models and just building them just to get them out there. And Preston Tucker, who was, you know, he was a well-known car salesman, but also he owned a machine shop, and he knew his way around the auto industry pretty well. And he basically said, look, I'm gonna jump in here and build cars, but since I'm not stuck with the legacy problems of the big three, I can start from the, you know, scratch. So he said, why not start from scratch and let's build a car incorporating all of the advances that had come along in the auto industry previous. So he said, we'll make it rear engine, rear wheel drive. We'll give it disc brakes, fuel injection. We'll put a Cyclops headlight in the front that turns with the steering wheel. And let's make it safe. We'll have a padded dashboard and a pop-out windshield. And when he announced it, for whatever reason, he got so much publicity that Tucker became a household name. And that actually backfired on him later because, you know, he became a lightning rod for you know, the publicity he had gotten. But temporarily, I mean, he was a well-known guy in America, and there were people who were lined up to buy his cars if he ever got a chance to build them.
And that's the thing. We're going to get into that a little bit further, but this car truly was a futuristic vehicle. There were so many different features on the Tucker. Preston was extraordinarily innovative. I mean, you can just look at the center-mounted headlight and tell our listeners about some of the features of the vehicle. And, you know, some of them were for safety. Some of them were for durability. I believe you could kind of swap the front bench seat with the rear bench seat to kind of even out wear. And certainly the choice of power plant was quite interesting.
Yeah, when he first came up with the idea, he had actually suggested that he was going to put an engine in the rear of this car and have it run basically through torque converters into the rear wheels, which would eliminate the transmission altogether. And they did actually build it and get it to work, but it didn't work well enough. So when he raised money with an initial public offering in 1948, he raised $15 or $17 million, a lot of money back then. First things he did is he went out and he bought his own engine company, and they bought a company that built air-cooled engines. It was called air-cooled engines, that built engines for helicopters. So these are aircraft engines. They worked very, very well. And then he got a transmission, which was in essence out of an old Cord, which was a well-known auto manufacturer. And so they put the stuff together. And, again, a lot of the things that he was putting into the car were ideas he'd gotten from hanging out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You know, almost things that were in race cars. And anybody who knows racing knows that racing is often where the best good ideas come from in the automobile industry. So the car was ahead of its time. If you simply look at the way it was designed, it was very streamlined. And you compare it to other cars from 1948, you realize, hey, this car was ahead of its time. And they got 50 of them built, roughly, 50 or 51. But unfortunately, you know, it wasn't to be because of other things that came along and stopped them.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the things that got in the way. Certainly, the public was very much excited about this Tucker automobile, the futuristic vehicle. But the folks down in Washington, it just seemed like from the get-go they were trying to bring him down.
Yeah, and we don't know why, but the Securities Exchange Commission there was a guy there named Harry McDonald, who's from Detroit, by the way, which may have played into it, started investigating Tucker right around the time they started building cars. So Tucker managed to get a few cars built, and then all of a sudden federal agents show up at the factory in Chicago and say, hey, we're here to investigate you. They wouldn't say why, but they basically set up camp in the building and started gathering up all of his documents, all his blueprints, all his receipts, correspondence, and they took it all. They literally walked out of the building with this stuff, and it basically shut his operation down. And somebody leaked to the press, and we know who it was Harry McDonald, leaked to the press that Tucker was being investigated for fraud. And Drew Pearson on a national radio program announced to the world that Tucker's fraud was going to be blown sky high. And
hold that thought, Steve.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention, this is an important message for anyone who has taken the prescription blood thinner Xarelto. In 2012, the Institute for Safe Medication Practices reported 2,081 injury cases and 151 deaths attributed to Xarelto use within its first year of release. Xarelto is a prescription blood thinner used to reduce the risk of blood clots and stroke. Dangerous side effects have been discovered, which have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Call Xarelto Help now at 800-224-0660. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and experienced internal bleeding or were hospitalized for a serious bleeding event, don't fight this alone. Call 800-224-0660 now to see if you may be entitled to a cash award and substantial financial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim, so call 800-224-0660. Xarelto Help Now lines are open. Call 800-224-0660. That's 800-224-0660. 800-224-0660.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer or did you buy a new one?
I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-914-6977. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-914-6977. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-914-6977. That's 1-800-914-6977.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hey, it's Billy F. Gibbons. Springs ZZ Top, and you're listening right here to Auto World.
When you're driving down the highway at night, and you feel a battle wild turkey.
We're getting some more answers here to the trivia question about seatbelts. Who is the first manufacturer to offer seatbelts as an option or standard equipment before the government mandated it? Our telephone number, 855-660-4261. We have a very special guest with us. He is the author of a Truly a spectacular book. It is called Preston Tucker and His Battle to Build the Car of Tomorrow. And the gentleman's name is Steve Leto, and it's available on all the usual spots, Amazon.com. You can get it in hardcover form there. You can get it in Kindle form there. I'm sure Barnes & Noble, all your usual places. And before that hard network break, Steve, you were telling us about the SEC and the fact that the folks in Washington and folks came into the actual assembly plant in Chicago and just totally seized a whole slew of information. And then back in, you know, nowadays, I guess this is why I'm struggling at the moment. Nowadays, it's so common. I mean, we see, you know, all these tabloid TV shows, and certainly the world of blogging is a whole other subject in itself. But, you know, accusations are thrown around left and right, all over the place. But back in 1948, for someone to be, you know, associated or someone insinuate that there's been fraud, that this was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, and see, you have to understand, Drew Pearson was an unusual character. He's a muckraking gossip columnist, in essence, but from Washington, D.C., and he gave this, he did a weekly radio program, but he also had a syndicated newspaper column, and he often talks about gossip that had to do with politics. And so when he went on the air and said there is a government investigation of Preston Tucker that's going to blow him sky high, that caused the Tucker stock to crash. And we know that the SEC leaked that on purpose. They also leaked it to Detroit News. Detroit News ran big headlines about Tucker fraud and smaller letters accusations. And eventually Tucker was charged, along with his entire management team, in essence, in Chicago, and put on trial in federal court. And, you know, it's an amazing thing, because after the trial was over, they were exonerated. The jury came back and found them all not guilty on all counts. But the damage was done. It destroyed the company, and it destroyed Preston Tucker.
It's amazing, you know, just running back those figures that you threw at us a few moments back, the amount of money that he raised back in those days. I mean, that was a significant cash influx. So all that money, everything just went down the drain. So, you know, he went from really being a star, a hero of sorts, to being dragged through the mud. And how did he escape in the public's eye? What did people think about Preston Tucker after all was said and done?
Unfortunately, most people remembered the arrest and the charges and the trial, and they forgot that he was acquitted. And I meet people today who, when I mention Preston Tucker, they get this puzzled look and they go, well, he was a criminal, wasn't he? And they forget that, no, he was acquitted. He was acquitted. But if you go back and look at the newspaper coverage, the headlines were huge at the opening of the trial. And when he got acquitted, it was a really small little mention at the bottom of the front page, or maybe page two, you know?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a Michigan guy. You know, this was not an outsider. He was from the state of Michigan, Preston Tucker, and certainly a great salesperson. But if you look at the advances that the Tucker automobile had, I mean, we touched on a few of the very unusual rear engine, rear wheel drive. It also had a very unique windshield. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, the windshield was designed to pop out in an accident. And back then, in the time before seatbelts, which you've mentioned before, that a lot of people in accidents would hit their heads on the windshield, and you'd get injured by that second collision. And so this windshield was designed to pop out, and it actually would in an accident, and it would theoretically be safer than being in a car that did not have a typical, a car that had a typical windshield. And so a lot of these advances, there were other car companies that used the pop-out windshield also. And so many of the things that Tucker used, pretty much the only thing he did that wasn't adopted was the Cyclops headlight. But a lot of the ideas they had were very, very good ideas, and the streamlined car in particular. If you look at the silhouette of a Tucker automobile, it's beautiful, and it's way ahead of its time for 1948.
Yeah, very aerodynamic, even before, you know, aerodynamics were even talked about.
Yeah.
This vehicle was very, very slick, and also, you know, had
some other things that we should touch on, a padded dashboard. I mean, even going into the 1960s, a lot of dashboards weren't that particularly padded, but this was 1948 and the Tucker had a padded dashboard. It also had completely independent suspension, which was unheard of back then as well.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because if you look at even the dashboard of a Tucker, it's very, very simple, very clean, and Preston Tucker, he may have micromanaged, but he likes to be involved in a lot of the decision making. And when he met the designers who were doing the interior, he said, guys, make it simple, make it easy to operate. And if you look at the dashboards of competing cars, they're very, very busy, they're very flashy, and people don't understand that simplicity in the dashboard and the driver's, you know, what the driver operates with is actually important, because you can get distracted while trying to, you know, move a knob or get your windshield wipers to work or something. And so making it very simple is actually also a safety feature. And safety was one of the major design cues that Tucker gave all of his designers. And he said, if you're trying to think about how to make this car, think safety first.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely the car of tomorrow, and it was also equipped with automatic transmission, and back then, I mean, that was relatively new, to say the least, so it was a battle for Preston, and if anybody's ever seen the movie with Jeff Bridges, he does a great job of kind of giving an overview, but if you really want to get into the nuances and the details, you got to get this book by our guest Steve, Preston Tucker and His Battle to Build the Car of Tomorrow. In addition to the fact that most people unfortunately saw him as being guilty even though he was acquitted, what were some of the other misconceptions about Preston Tucker?
Well, one of the most important things, and this is a statistic that I think really freaks most people out, is that, number one, the Tucker Corporation had thousands of employees. It was a very, very large operation. But number two, they only managed to build 51 cars. But of those 51 cars, 47 of them still exist, and we know where they all are. The fact that those cars are still surviving now, 60-some-odd years later, 70-some-odd years later, is remarkable. And when they sell for a lot of money. One of them is sold for, I believe, $3 million is the benchmark, but they routinely sell for $1 million or more. And so the fact that these cars still survive, they're in, you know, the condition they're in, is a lasting legacy to Tucker and the fact that he's building decent cars.
Absolutely. Everybody get Preston Tucker and His Battle to Build the Car of the Future. And it's available again on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places, by Steve Letko. Hey, Steve, thank you so much. We'll get you back with us down the road.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL. 866-91-STEEL. 866-91-STEEL.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria,
bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Giving your radio a broadcasted tune-up. This is Auto World, and your host, Bob Long.
Thank you very much for joining me here today on Auto World, and we finally do have a winner on the seatbelt question. The question was, what was the first vehicle to offer optional seatbelts or standard seatbelts before the government stepped in and said, all cars have got to have, originally it was just lap belts, and then eventually, of course, they became lap and shoulder belts, three-point harnesses, and of course, nowadays, if you have children, there are very strict laws regarding baby seats, and that's a whole topic in itself. But correct answer is Volvo. That is correct. Volvo was the first company to bring forth the seatbelt. And we want to congratulate Charles in Nevada. Thank you very much, Charles. And we'll get you out a prize from the Busted Knuckle Garage. Well, we just had an interesting discussion about Preston Tucker. Have you guys seen that movie? I saw it a while ago. I wouldn't mind seeing it again. Certainly this is a great book and would recommend it to all of our listeners out there. Joining us now on the lines is one of our regular contributors. If you go to AutoWorldRadio.com, click on Contributors, you'll see the picture of this gentleman. He is the CEO and the founder of the OldCarGuys.com, Mr. Don Jones. Don, how are you doing?
I'm doing real well. I was just listening to your last guest and found what he had to say to be quite good and quite accurate, based on my studies and some of the talks I've given on the Tucker over the years. There's a Tucker website, or Tucker Auto Collectors of America has a site. You can go to it and click on automobiles, and we'll show you pictures of almost all of the Tucker automobiles that were built. And if you click on the picture, it'll tell you the history of that particular automobile and, where it went when it came out of the factory and where it is now. Quite a few of these are in museums around North America and South America. So if, you know, if our listeners have the interest, the information's out there.
It's amazing, he pointed out, that of the original batch of Tuckers, 50 or 51 or so, they have documentation of at least 47 still being around. And I know once in a blue moon they'll go over the auction block at one of the high-end million-dollar type auctions. It's quite a sight to see. I have seen one in person. Have you ever seen one in person, Don?
I don't think so. If I had been many, many years ago, I just can't recollect it. What I have seen in person is a stock certificate that I found at a friend's house that was signed by Mr. Tucker personally, which was kind of finding a small treasure in a safe deposit box. So that was kind of a neat experience. I've never found any Tucker parts anywhere, not even a hubcap or any kind of an ID plate. I have a feeling, though, that there may have been some parts that may have been salvaged or scavenged out of that factory after it closed down and stuff just kind of went to the wind. Several of those Tuckers were put together after the official closing of the plant from the parts, and there was some talk that some parts had ended up in garages, and some drawings or prototypes had ended up in private collections. And really, if you go to the website, you'll see that there was a couple of prototypes and so-called cars of the future that were being placed on the cover of car magazines all the way into the mid-1950s. So there may be something else out there. Unfortunately, I don't think I'll be finding out. As you might remember, I belong to I'm a registered automotive historian, and the association's having their meeting next week in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where there's an incredibly large research library, but I probably won't be making it out there anytime soon to be talking to any other historians as far as the Tucker or any rumors that are flying around. But one of these days I'll spend some time up in Michigan and maybe track down some folks up there at some of those swap meets.
Absolutely. Our telephone number, if you have a question for Don, don't forget, if you're in the market right now for a classic car or if you're looking for parts for a particular vehicle, Don can help you out. He can help you out live here on the air at 855-660-4261. You've been doing quite a bit of traveling in recent weeks. Kind of bring us up to speed. Where have you been?
Well, last week I was up in Nebraska visiting some of our salvage yards up there, where I found that piece for the the Kritz, K-R-I-T, I think it is, a 1909 to 1916 automobile, and a fellow in Murray, Nebraska, had the cover for the wheel bearing on one. So. Very, very rare piece. When I find stuff like that for a car that we probably had a run of 3,000 cars, with the majority of them sold in Europe, and you find a part in eastern Nebraska in a little town of 400 people, I have no doubt that whenever somebody tells me they ain't out there, that it is out there somewhere. It's just a matter of keep looking, and you'll trip over it sooner or later.
That's right. And you certainly have been in some unusual places, including the Applejack Car Festival last week. And what a great weekend that must have been.
We did the Applejack. We came back and rested up. And then I headed down to near Bonterra, Missouri, which is about 80 miles from St. Louis, and visited one of our salvage yards down there. And what we did for that yard is he has about 800 older classic cars, and we reshot all those pictures keeping an eye open for Oldsmobiles and Pontiacs, which we've been having a lot of calls for. But we also looked around the rest of the yard. We're having more and more calls for people looking for parts that are 15 or 20 years old as opposed to, you know, 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 years old. And we're taking his, what I call his center mass, the product line. We're pushing it forward into the early 2000s for him. We're going to try to market more of those automobile parts that aren't exactly classic, but they're getting harder and harder to find. Most salvage yards in large cities, because of limited space, are only buying cars that are less than 10 years old. So in towns and cities like St. Louis, where you have a lot of people that aren't making a lot of money, they have a tendency to keep those older cars going longer. So we're going to try to help those folks out by advertising and more of what our yard have when it comes to that year of cars. And we'll see how that works for folks. So, you know, keep that in mind. If you got any of our listeners got friends out there looking for that 14-year-old Chevrolet part, he has some rare stuff, some rare truck parts. So we're going to get all that up there online for him, including his line of front-wheel drive and Jeep stuff we found over in one part of the yard. It's amazing sometimes that some of our clients have no idea what they have in the yard until we go down and look around and come back and tell them what we found.
That's great. When we come back on the other side, you can tell us some of those stories. And don't forget, if you got a question for Don, here's that number, 855-660-4261. We've got Patrick standing by, ready and willing and able to take your calls. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
When we ran out, we stopped using it.
Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished? We thought everything was fine, and that was not a good thing.
No.
He started stinking. It was awful.
Shedding comes back. Loss of hair, lots of dandruff.
Scratching will return. His shedding will increase.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite, he would go back to his hair loss.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite,
when I get to about 3/4.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
Each and every day she is getting that Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
Don't do what I did and run out.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of the lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Introducing the fastest growing digital currency company in the world, OneLife. With over 2.1 million members, OneCoin is becoming the most powerful force in digital currency. It reached over $1 billion in revenue in its first year. No other company has accomplished such an impressive feat. Now you can achieve financial independence with the strength of OneLife. Find out how to build your financial dreams. 877-933-4747. 877-933-4747. Dedicated to helping you create financial abundance.
Hi, this is Jay Leno, and you're listening to Auto World with Bob Long.
Oh, you better watch out, man, how you drive that Cadillac there. I'm telling you, ain't that a fine machine?
Thank you very much for joining us here on Auto World. We're live all across North America on great radio stations. We're also around the world via GCNLive.com. If you miss our live broadcast, you can catch us in archive form, in podcast form, or in on-demand form at GCNLive.com. Don Jones is with us, CEO of the Old Car Guys, and he's been telling us about his recent travels to Nebraska and the Applejack Festival and going through lots of salvage yards and being knee-deep in hopefully not rattlesnakes and finding all kinds of stuff. What were some of the more unusual things that you came across this time around?
Well, I did come across a 1944 Czechoslovakian ammo carrier. It's a tri-wheel motorcycle. I'm not sure the manufacturer, possibly BMW. It has a regular motorcycle front end, flathead, two-cylinder engine, and two smaller rear wheels. And across the back is a box similar to a small pickup truck where they would put ammunition boxes to take the soldiers closer to the fighting from an ammunition distribution point, probably, you know, in the rear or whatever. It's a fellow here in St. Louis that has a Mercedes-Benz repair facility, and he took me to the man cave and showed me that car, a couple of nice Mercedes, a lot of Kaiser's signs and whatnot. And he's also putting up a 1941 Ford two-door. He has that for $3,500. And I believe it's a two-door. I haven't got it back over to shoot any pictures yet. And kind of a rear car, 1953 Dodge two-door station wagon. And usually the station wagons we find are four doors in that year group. So he had that up for $2,500. I'm not sure if they're a little higher or not. I haven't really had time to compare them to other prices in price guides and stuff. But we'll go back and sign that guy up and have those on our website hopefully next week as well. We got a lot of neat new, old salvage cars that we'll be placing on her over the next couple of days, though.
Well, that's good. And I know that in the not-too-distant future, you're going to be taking a trip to Montana. Is that definitely in the mix?
I think it is. I was planning on doing it fairly soon. My buddy wanted me to come out actually this week, but the airline ticket was like $800 if I went this week. But if I waited a couple weeks, it'll be down to about $340. And since I'm not getting any richer in my old age, and I haven't hit any gold mines, I guess I think I'll wait and see if I can get a cheaper airline ticket.
Yeah, it's funny how they fluctuate like that. It can fluctuate in a course of a day or two. Sometimes they can go way up for no apparent reason, but that's the life in 2016. Don, yes. Jones is with us. TheOldCarGuys.com is the website, and Don's personal number, you can dial him up at 314-306-7507, and he'll help you out. If you're in the market for maybe your first classic car, or you have an older car that you're looking to restore, or you're looking for a hard-to-find part. And certainly there are lots of people out there who fit that bill, the fact that you know, sometimes you get a really cool car, but it's not always easy to find the parts. Are the Mopar parts harder to find than, let's say, the typical General Motors or Ford parts?
Yes, yeah, they are generally. And as I mentioned in some of my other shows about restoration, those parts can run you as much as four times the cost of a Chevrolet part. We've concentrated this year on trying to find more and more of those parts for our clients and customers. And we probably tripled the amount of salvage parts available. We're now getting not only into the aftermarket restoration parts, but the people that that do the services, the people that can rebuild radiators and rebuild radios for these old cars. So we'll probably have to redo the website again to be able to find all this stuff if I keep, you know, shoving all these products in there. Right now, if you're looking for something, just put it in the search engine, and it'll take you to the most likely places where you can find those parts. It's kind of hard to get all this into like some kind of giant inventory system, because most of the people I deal with aren't computer illiterate and really don't really have much to do with a computer. All the information they have on their inventory is usually in their head. So, you know, bear with us, and as time goes on, we'll probably be able to figure something out and happen. Right now, it's best to call, and I'll guide you in the best direction.
Very good. Just taking a look at some of the updated listings that you've got here on the site, I couldn't help but click on the fire engine you've got up here, a 1985. It's a GMC with an American pumper body. This looks like it's lived somewhat of a charmed life.
Yes, it has. It's not only was it obviously kept in the garage when it was at the fire department, but most of the owners for that truck afterwards kept it under under lock and key or inside a building, sometimes heated, sometimes not. And right now it's sitting in a big garage about 10 blocks from where I'm staying. It runs. I actually was instrumental in selling that to the last owner, who recently passed away, and the estate wants me to market it. Fire trucks in general are usually a pretty good buy. That one is selling for around $3,500. The tires on it are probably worth $3,500. But it is running. It's a gasoline engine, standard transmission. No pumps in it. It's set up for parades. It was used for years with the Shriners. The fellow that owned it actually was the fellow I worked for the estate running the bar, my friend Al Coco. He used it for a number of years going to parades in the neighborhood. And I guess I probably get three or four of the St. Patrick's Day parades with him over the years. And so we would go to Forest Park, line up there about 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, kind of tailgate off the back of a fire truck and then all load on it. Head for the parade and, you know, then back to the bar to eat the rest of the hot dogs and rock.
Oh, that's great. Lots of pictures up, and it is in extraordinarily good condition. And the price, folks, again, for this American fire truck is only $3,500, $4,000 in that general vicinity. And, you know, what a great deal. Like you said, the tires alone are worth that kind of money. When I stop and think about the prices of new cars and repairs on newer cars, I mean, imagine being able to get a fire truck, and it's an 85, so it's not super old. It looks like it's very mechanically sound, so someone could have a lot of fun like you did riding on the back of this fire truck.
You know, having a fire truck is like, you know, the white elephant. It's very, very big and takes up a lot of room to store it. You don't really, like, put it in the extra slot in your basement garage. But this one, if you're in the St. Louis area or near the St. Louis area, you can have the garage with it. The garage, your rent is only $50 a month, which is cheaper than any kind of a storage you're building. It's fairly secure, and it really, if a person wanted to put another car next to the fire truck, they could probably squeeze it in there. So, you know, if you're in St. Louis or around St. Louis, it's no big deal in keeping it somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. For all the folks listening in the St. Louis area, get on Don's website, theoldcarguys.com, and check this out, because if you have a business that you'd like to promote, I mean, what great advertising that could be for special events, like you said, parades and you know, even parking it in front of your establishment. I mean, for $4,000 today, that would be a real bargain. You can definitely get your money's worth very quickly just in publicity and great photos. Well, they're chasing us out the door, Don, for this week. In the meantime, everybody give Don a call. What's that number, Don?
Here it goes, 314-306-7507.
Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you again next week. That's right, going to do it for this hour of Auto World. My name is Bob Long.
Let's say you want to make a do-it-yourself repair on your vehicle. Where do you turn for advice? If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do a job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Haynes now offers online manuals that are formatted for all electronic devices. Rather than chance it on the internet, see the experts at Haynes.com.
This is Don Jones, the old car guy himself. I'd like to invite you to come to my website, theoldcarguys.com. That's theoldcarguys.com. We probably have everything you need for your classic car. Parts, service, even insurance. So check us out at theoldcarguys.com or give me a call at 314-306-7507. That's 314-306-7507.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.